Suits and Sanders is a leadership and legacy podcast that seeks to address the key leadership issues in business, government, and personal or self-leadership. Our objective is to raise the awareness of the crucial role leadership plays in almost every tangible achievement of personal and institutional goals. At the core of our mission, we believe every person is born with a special gift to lead an impactful life and to massively contribute towards the success of the nation and our posterity. The name Suits and Sanders reminds us that great leaders are first servants. So we believe you're going to massively be impacted with the content we'll bring you, and we hope that you're going to maximize your potential with the objective of maximizing your contribution to the nation, but above all, to leave an impact on this generation and to the entire posterity. So join us on this journey. Welcome to another episode on Suits and Sanders. I am your host, Moses Chavi, and in the next series, I'm going to take you on a journey which we'll call the Entrepreneurship Agenda. And the first episode, we're covering about the role of national leadership or the responsibility of national leadership in entrepreneurship. If you've been with me for some time or you've read some of my ebooks, you understand that I don't really approach the subjects with expert opinions or learned suggestions, but rather I endeavor to construct the themes around the national agenda, which is usually inspired by the thoughts and dreams of the common man. I have all the right, I know, to claim learned opinions based on the incredible knowledge and experience gained from the classrooms and the multinational firms I've worked with, let alone the considerable consulting background with diverse clients. However, life has taught me that most of the stuff that we absorb or basically human opinions backed with scientific evidence or proven applications and success sometimes do miss the common and the baseline requirements of life. We need to understand that behind every human opinion and the paraded success stories, there are numerous failures and frustrations that many self-meds will not be willing to share with the masses. Unfortunately, we always see the beautiful side of life, the multimillionaires, the people who are making it, people who look to have made it, and pretty much the success that has come with a lot of toil, but that toil is not presented. That's why, without demeaning the great human lessons cascaded to us through the ages on leadership, governance, economics, and industry, I prefer rendering my presentations on an eternal foundation that stands the test of time. I'd rather err on the side of truth than be found wanting because of over-reliance on human wisdom and respect of man. But it doesn't mean that we do neglect the lessons that great men and women have actually left us. There are people who have done massive stuff based on their brilliance, but above all, God's grace. And those lessons will not go to waste. We need to learn. We need to tap from the people that have gone before us. That's how life is designed. It is for this reason that you will regularly catch a glimpse of the Holy Scriptures embedded within my talk or writings, as that is predominantly the foundational source of my inspiration and calling. From time to time, I would also joyfully refer my listeners and readers to iconic human stories of faith, persistence, and success adapted from our worldview, and even taking great examples from current entrepreneurs in the land, leaders in Malawi and other African countries or beyond. This is hugely commendable, for as long as we are in this world, I believe we need to understand its patterns in order to navigate life without cheap and ignorant conformity to temporary standards. My encouragement, if you ask me, would be that you need to find a solid ground on which to base your hustle and grit. For without a base, both attributes truly become mere hard labor, the vacuum void of grace. The things I communicate are very basic, and most of the readers will express, "We know this, this is obvious, there is nothing new." But here lies the problem. The modern world chooses to go complex on things that the common man would easily understand. That's a problem. The modern world is ignoring basics in the pursuit of unicorns, forgetting that every big thing needs fundamentals for sustenance. So your pursuit will only last as long as the strength of its foundation. So when it comes to entrepreneurship, what's your foundation? When it comes to the lessons that you try to deploy in your hustle, what's the foundation? What's the foundation? What lessons have driven you to this point where you believe you're ready for the world that's standing before you? We've seen the people who have gone before us. We've seen people who are on the grind right now. We've seen people who have left their cozy offices to grind and to curve a new path of life with a quest of attainment and achievement. And for most people, to be honest, sometimes the drive is just money. But we need to ask very important questions. How many people have actually met that goal that they saw a couple of years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? So when you talk about grit and hustle, we need to be driven by something that is more, something that is beyond ourselves. That even if the first expectation, if it was money, if it doesn't work out in the next 1 year or 2 years, are we going to be sustained on the grind? Are we going to be found on the grind? I'm reminded of a very sobering statement that the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, said that, but when the Son of Man comes back, is he going to find faith on earth? That statement was made after he had taught through a parable of the persistent woman who had to push the unjust judge to give her justice for her land, for her property, or for her estate. And though the judge was unjust, but because the lady was very persistent, he didn't want to be worried off by this lady, and he decided to just give her justice so that he could rest. And that lesson that was built from that parable was that we need to persist on things that matter most to us. We need to be at it. Those who knock, the door will be opened unto them. Those who seek will find, and those who ask are the ones who are given. So when you talk about hustle and grit, we need to talk about things that matter, things that are deeper than the surface. So getting quickly to the subject of today, so what is the role of national leadership in entrepreneurship? I believe leadership is everything. That's why we bring you Suits and Sanders, a podcast that just zeroes in on leadership in all facets of life. Could be in government, in public sector and private sector, in our solo entrepreneurial journeys, partnerships, talking about everything else that's creative and innovative, but looking at leadership that seeks to serve the people, leadership that seeks to contribute to the nation, not just our pockets. So national leadership, if you ask me, has a massive responsibility. Without proper policies to stimulate the business and entrepreneurship environment, it's tough. It's not possible to build lasting solutions for an ailing economy. You know, economies like ours have pretty much stagnated over years, decades on end. It needs no expert to explain that economies like Malawi's have stagnated. It's just a reality. Because it's home, it's a beautiful country, and we love our country passionately. We defend it like pros. We defend it when it comes to issues of poverty and stagnation. But in the hearts of hearts, we know that we've stagnated. So without proper policies, it's very tough to stimulate business and entrepreneurship. There's need for solid and undivided political will from the president. So I'm talking about the president because he's a leader. He's also called citizen number one, right? So the president, the responsible ministers, the principal secretaries, the directors, everybody, including the district commissioners and our legislators, there's need for all the people who have been entrusted with leadership to push the national agenda in this domain of entrepreneurship. Above all else, the president has a massive and undeniable duty to exert the much needed weight to scrap off outdated government policies and facilitate the creation and implementation of modern and effective initiatives. I would add, especially for women and the youth. It's very, very true. We need a level playing ground, but we know where we're coming from. History has taught us that massive potential lies with our women and with our youth. And Malawi is predominantly a very youthful nation. And if we don't curve deliberate policies to promote, to sustain their dreams, we are killing the future of the nation. So as a youthful nation, we need actually policies that are going to cultivate and build that massive potential hidden in our youth and women. Women are keepers. Women are keepers. I wouldn't expound it better. They are keepers. You will notice that I'm mentioning the responsibility of specific persons and not functions or offices. It is a human issue. Trust me. Pushing an agenda in any domain, whether it's government or a company, it's a human issue. I've worked as a consultant with different companies. I've worked as an auditor, in the consulting space, but also as an in-house internal auditor. Trust you me, enhancing systems and processes, controls, agendas, refining strategies, it's a human issue. Oftentimes, the offices and functions are betrayed by humans and not by their structures. Humans are there to create workable solutions, including dumping old methods and adopting a far-sighted development agenda. But they have a will to do or not to do. That's the thing. You and me have a will. God has given us a will. So that's why when you talk about sin, for example, you'd say you should not sin. But because we have a will, we still go ahead and do what is wrong. So it's not different when it comes to the domain of leadership. We believe that we have good leaders, but sometimes the human will kicks in. The national agenda may be there. The beautiful future may be calling us, beckoning everyone to move towards the beautiful future. But human will can come in the way and stop good things. So for nations like Malawi, leaders need to be decisive and adamant on pushing for change in all the very obvious public and private sectors, canvassing immigration, internal security, intelligence, all ministries, financial services, starting with the Reserve Bank of Malawi and all its arms, public works, culture, etc. If the head of state is strong and resolute in championing a vision that is stronger than personal appetites and a trajectory that will benefit everybody, all arms of the economy have no choice but to support such a vision or risk being the promoters of evil against the populace. It's just a point. If leadership is strong, then definitely people have to follow. We had the privilege of living a little bit under the reign of Kamuzu Banda. But obviously our parents, before the millennials, those who lived in that regime, they carried down the stories of people hiding, just trying to talk about the government then, because people believed that somehow Kamuzu Banda was everywhere. He had ears to listen and to hear whatever you were saying everywhere. But the main thing that was actually causing that understanding and a sixth sense of Kamuzu being able to hear what you're saying was his leadership style. When the leader is strong at the top, it's not uncommon to hear people changing behavior and the trajectory of their mannerisms just because a leader has said that is wrong or that's not within the expectations of our leadership. And that's the same thing that you can attest to talking about recently passed on President of Tanzania, President Pombe Magufuli. People would actually talk in hidden corners that you wouldn't now see the policemen in Tanzania, including those in their borders, talking about corruption. Why? Because the number one servant or number one citizen was very strong in fighting and dwarfing corruption in his nation. That's what happened. So how does this affect the entrepreneurship agenda at the national level? If policies, strong policies, deliberate policies, intentional directions are set by the number one public servant, trust you me, what happens is that fabric, that DNA or the vibe starts to trickle down to the masses. If the top national boss has adequate support from all the ministries, the parastatals, the private companies, possibilities are ripe that the smaller clusters can be mobilized and integrated to work together towards a common national vision. The state that we are in demands deliberate policies. I'm talking about Malawi now. I believe that most African governments and most African sons and daughters would get the same advice, which would actually resonate in their countries. That the state that we are in demands deliberate policies that will promote innovation among the vibrant and creative youthful population to spur solutions for most of the long outstanding problems. We need effective systems, including accountable development banks and investment arms of government that will be established with the sole intention to cultivate a production, manufacturing, service, and resilient export culture. This is a complex commitment, but doable with a resilient mindset. This is very doable. We've seen countries coming from nowhere and moving towards a certain directional trajectory within a few years. It's very possible. If we start to make intentional statements that will be backed by action, it won't take long to see this nation moving quickly on a very positive direction. If the youth will see that we no longer just talk about supporting and we truly support everyone who is innovative and creative enough, someone who is, yes, partnering with the right people, someone who's bringing their talent, their discoveries on the table, not rewarding people because they're affiliated to a specific government arm or a party. When people start to see that we are moving together as a collective, as a nation, that everyone who has a brilliant idea stands a chance in this nation, trust you me, we are going to see a ripple effect of development being driven by locals, being driven by Malawians. I believe Malawi has massive talent. Malawi has the rightful people that we need to solve our problems, to bring solutions on the table in significant areas, from agriculture, manufacturing, waste management, service industries, transportation, logistics, and supply chain. We have the minds, we have the talent. Even if we want to call back our sons and daughters from wherever they've run away to, trust you me, the base that we have in this nation can change the trajectory of this country in proportional measures. But it starts at the top. It starts at the top leadership. And by talking about number one public servant, no one is recused from their responsibilities. You and me, as citizens of the land, as sons and daughters of the land, we bear a massive responsibility to lead our lives very well, but also to cause the places that we are leading in, or the places that we are working in, or our very businesses, we need to have that DNA of leadership. So when our leaders, meaning the president, the vice president, the ministers, the directors in government offices, when they spur us towards a massive national vision, we need to move together with them. We need to move, because sometimes what happens is a leader can just show you the direction. You remember what happened with Moses? Moses from the Bible. Moses didn't see the promised land, as in he didn't get into the land, but God gave him a privilege of letting him to see the promised land from afar. But what happened? God took his life and Joshua took over leading the children of Israel into the promised land. It was Joshua who took them across the river Jordan. So sometimes as leaders, they can point us towards the direction, but it takes a collective action and collective effort for each one of us to push forward so that we can actually indeed go into the land of milk and honey. So we may be asking leaders like, where's the milk and where's the honey? But they are pointing, they're showing us the direction how to go there so that we can actually get to the milk and honey. So we all have a collective responsibility as the government sets the right policies, as they change the practices, as they improve the systems and the governmental entities and the parastatals, as our energy sources are being improved, our logistics infrastructure is being improved, the immigration starts to work well, road traffic department starts to behave well, the Marae Revenue Authority starts to perform, all these areas, as they become functional, we need to make sure that as sons and daughters of the land, we are actually preparing for that advancement so that when the doors are open, we are able to enter in. So opportunity usually comes to those who are prepared. That's the adage. So wishing you all the best as we all run through the open doors and support the national leaders in their agenda. But to the number one public servant, we're saying, make sure that the policies are indeed polished so that, like a Moses of the Bible, you can indeed point us towards the promised land and we can run together as sons and daughters of the land towards the advancement of our nation. So until next time, I'll see you and talk to you in the next episode as we go through this entrepreneurship agenda. God bless you.